I listened to Andrew's message this week. We were at different locations last week. He was at Greg's and I was at Tim's, and we didn't talk about what we were going to share on last week, but I shared on, I've been sharing on fruit and bearing fruit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and going through that a little bit. But I kind of focused last week on how we glorify God, and it's by bearing much fruit. And as I was listening to Andrew's message last week, or this past week, as it was online, he started with sharing the verse in Isaiah. You don't have to turn there, but Isaiah 43, verse 7 says, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory." And then he talked about how we glorify God in John 15 by bearing much fruit. And then he talked in John 12 about how we bear fruit. And it's by, unless a grain of wheat falls in the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And those are all the verses that I was sharing last week. And I was like, really encouraged. Lord, this is a theme that I think that we're on the right track here, that you want us to be fruitful. And even though we were at two different spots, the message was very similar, and then he focused on Mark about the sowing the seed and the different types of hearts and how we want to be like the one, the heart who bears 100-fold, right? And it was interesting. I used to think there's four types of hearts, but there's actually six, some who bear 30, 60, and 100-fold. And we want to strive to bear much fruit. So I wanted to talk about the fruit because I've gone through love, and last week I touched on joy and peace, and I wanted to talk about the next one, which is long-suffering. And before I talk about growing in long-suffering and patience in our lives, I think it's important to note that our Father is long-suffering. When Christ came, he was long-suffering. So there's a verse in Psalm 86, verse 15. It says, "But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy and truth." Our God is a God full of long-suffering. When you think of patience, and that word long-suffering, long-suffering really describes it. He suffers long with us. You know, before we were even yet saved, he had to suffer long when we were in our rebellion and our rebellious ways. And even now, you know, when we make mistakes, he still has to suffer long with us. And our God is a God full of compassion, kindness, and patience and long-suffering. When Moses asked the Lord, "Lord, you know, we can't go unless you go with us. I don't want to go unless you're there. We can't be without your presence. You have to go before us." And then he was pleading with the Lord. He said, "Show me your glory." This is in Exodus 34. He's saying, "Show me your glory." And you know what the Lord said? He said, "I will let all my goodness pass before you." All my goodness. You know, when I was younger, like, and even more recently, when you think of, what do you think of when you say, "I want to see God's glory"? Well, I want to see his brightness. I want to see signs and wonders. You know, I want to see that kind of power. But he wanted to show Moses his goodness. And you know what he did when he said, "I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock"? He says, "You can't see my face because no one can see my face and live. So I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to pass before you, and I'm going to proclaim my name to you. I'm going to proclaim my name." And you know what he proclaimed? I'll read that in Exodus 34. In verse 6. So he proclaimed the name of the Lord, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers, this is verse 7 now, upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. As I shared last week, there's two sides of the coin here. You know, his mercy, compassion, long-suffering for us, but yet by no means clearing the guilty. You know, for those who don't come to him and repent of their sin, there's going to be a judgment. And I hadn't seen this before, but this morning I saw that, remember Moses got angry and he broke the tablets, and then the Lord had to create two more tablets for him, or write on them the Ten Commandments. And he did that right here. The Lord said, go cut two tablets of stone, like the first one in 34:1, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first one. And so he wrote those commandments while he was proclaiming his goodness and while he was proclaiming his loving kindness and compassion. And so, you know, the Lord still has his commands for us to walk in, and his goodness for us to walk, or his commands and in the new covenant, these aren't burdensome. It says that his commandments are not burdensome, because as we love, we want to obey. But yet there's still commands for us. You know, we can't just do what we want, right? We want to do what the Lord wants us to do. And as he's proclaiming his goodness, he has those things for us to walk in. Like it says, you know, he created us for good works that we should walk in them. He's prepared them before us. So the Lord is kind. He's long-suffering. And did you know that if the Lord wasn't long-suffering, we would never be saved? There's two verses that talk about that. One's in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. It says, or do you despise his goodness, the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that it's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance? It's because of his patience. That's why we were led to repentance, because of his kindness. And in 2 Peter chapter 3:15 says, and consider that it's the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. That's why we were saved, because he was so patient with us. He was long-suffering to delay judgment and to bring us to a place. You know, for years I rebelled against him, for years. Even knowing the good and that I shouldn't do these things, I continued in them for years. But the Lord was patient and long-suffering. And there's a wonderful passage in I think it's in 2 Peter chapter 3. I'll read it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 to 9. It says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. This they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth stands out of water and in the water, and by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise. That's the promise of his coming, right? People are like, where's the promise of his coming? He said he's going to come back. You know, this is not true. It's been thousands of years. Why is he not coming back? When it said in First John, you know, that we're at the last hour now. He said that 2,000 years ago was the last hour. Then why isn't he coming back? Scoffer's going to say that. He's not coming back. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why he's delaying so long, for people to be saved. He wants people to be saved. He wants his creation to come to a place to know him, to repent, so that he can have fellowship with them. That's why he's delaying. The long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. So, in light of all those scriptures, seeing how the Lord is so long-suffering, what is our response? What should we be? Fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. The Lord is still long-suffering. So how are we going to, when we're in a situation where our patience is just tested to the max, how are we going to get victory? How does the victory come? How do we grow in long-suffering? I'm going to share a few things, how we can grow in long-suffering. The first one is, we will become like the one that we serve. We serve Christ and serve our Father. We will become like that. It may be little by little, we will grow. You know, in Psalm 115, verse, in that passage there, it says, you know what it says, about other gods and idols? It says, they have eyes, but they don't see. They have ears, they don't hear. They have a mouth, but they don't speak. And those who make them are like them, and so is everyone who trusts in them. So those who trust in idols become like them. They're blind, they're deaf. But the same is the opposite. Those who serve Christ will become like Christ. Doesn't Jesus say that, what is that verse about, we will become like our teachers? Every good student will become like his teacher. So as we are disciples, we will become like Christ, as disciples of Christ. He's our teacher. He's our master. We will become like him. And we know that's the Lord's will, that we will be conformed into his image. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 18. It's another way we can become like him. Become patient. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. I had a bit of more understanding here this morning as I saw that it was the goodness of the Lord that passed before Moses when he wanted to see God's glory. And here it says, as we behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. When I think of a mirror, I think of his word. As we are in his word and we're beholding and studying in his word and meditating upon his word, and we see God's goodness, we see how patient God was with us, we see how much he loves us, we will then start to be transformed into his image as we get a revelation of his kindness, his goodness, as that is revealed to us. And it is by the Spirit, not in our own strength. If we find that we are trying and trying and never and are always failing, it's because we're trying in our own power. We're trying by our Spirit, but we can't ever get victory by our Spirit. It has to be by the Holy Spirit. And so we need to cry out, Lord, I need your Holy Spirit. I need you to change me. I want to be long-suffering. Okay, the next one is very important, and it ties into what Andrew was sharing in Laurel about prayer. In James chapter 1. This is pretty clear. In verse 2, starting in verse 2, James 1, starting in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. It's very clear how we're going to grow in patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded. So when we pray, Lord, I was impatient today with this person. I was impatient with this situation. Lord, please, I want to grow in patience. I need help. Do you know what he's going to send our way? Tribulation, trials. He's going to send trials. Because it's those trials that we can, that's how we can grow. If everything was so easy, say we just, you know, lived on the beach in Hawaii in the palm trees and it was vacation all our lives and nothing difficult ever come to us. The coconuts were always there with the coconut milk and we didn't have any battles in the mind, let's say, you know, everything was just, how would everyone know if we were patient or not? But then someone comes along and takes away our coconut milk from us, right? Someone comes along and says, this, you're not supposed to be here. This is my patch of beach, and kicks up sand in your face. You know, it's only through these trials that we're going to be, see if we have patience. And now we can be tested. Okay, this is difficult. I remember, I mean, when I work, and all of you at work are going to be tested. When I worked at the hospital, I work now, but there was a patient and he was so difficult and he would yell at everybody. And I went in to try and get him going and he yelled at me. And I thought, okay, some people just need some tough love. So I'm going to speak firm and I'm going to tell him that's not appropriate because he was swearing. And I said, that's not appropriate. But as I was starting to get riled up, I started to get more impatient and I started getting more strong and he was getting more strong. And we were just in a bit of a verbal argument. And afterwards, I felt horrible. I was like, that, I was trying to fight fire with fire. It wasn't working. And I just became patient and I lost my peace. And then I went for lunch and I was just so felt defeated and I was such a bad testimony. And I thought, I know what I'm going to do. Lord, help. I got to go up to him and I have to apologize. But he doesn't even deserve apology. You know, he was so angry and so mean. He's mean to everybody. Jesus spoke in my heart, no, you have to go and you have to apologize. And so that's what I had to do. And even before I got there, this ungodly, wicked man had talked to the nurse and the nurse called me and said, this man wants to talk to you. He wants to apologize to you. I thought, wow, can you imagine if I wouldn't have listened to that to be like, I got to go and apologize to him. And yet he, no, we want to apologize to me. I was thankful that I listened to that. And now I can pray, Lord, help me, Lord, to be more patient next time. And he will help me. And he does, and he has helped me. So we can become more patient through these tribulations. It says, even in Romans chapter 5, verse 3, that, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance or patience. So we can actually glory in tribulation. We can be thankful for it. We can count it a joy, knowing that we become more like Christ. It's hard to do. We can't do it in our own strength. We really have to become weak. And we have to know that our own strength is just going to produce death. We can't fight that same fight. If someone is arguing with us, we can't fight that way. We have to just be quiet. In Proverbs 15, verse 18, it says, a hot-tempered person stirs conflict or starts fights. Someone who's hot-tempered or impatient, quick to anger, they're going to start fights and arguments. But it says, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. Isn't that beautiful? A patient person will calm the quarrel. That's the Lord's desire, that we can be peacemakers. We'll be able to calm quarrels. And you know, a lot of times it's just, we're not quick to respond. We're just quiet. And let the Lord fight for us, right? Romans 12:12, it says, we are patient in tribulation and continue steadfast in prayer. Right? So in tribulation, we're going to be patient and we got to continue steadfastly in prayer, which ties in with James chapter 1. You know, there's a story in 1 Samuel chapter 13. And Samuel told Saul, he said, "Go, you're going to go to Gilgal." And I think that's the chapter before he gives him instruction in chapter 10, sorry, verse 8. He says, you go down before me, down to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings. And 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do. So he gave him instructions. 7 days. You're going to wait 7 days. You're going to go to Gilgal. Just wait for me. I'm going to come. I'm going to make sacrifice. I'll tell you exactly what to do. That's like the that was a prophet. He was speaking the words of the Lord. So Samuel or Saul goes down and things start getting crazy. Israel, like the Philistines come and Israel's scattered. And Saul waits 7 days, just like Samuel said. But he's waiting, and on the seventh day, he's waiting and waiting, and he was like, he's seeing all the Israel getting scattered, and he then is like, I can't listen to Samuel. He's not coming now. So I got to make the sacrifice now. I got to do it myself. And as soon as he was done offering the burnt offerings, Samuel came. It was still on the seventh day, but he just didn't wait long enough. He wasn't patient. And he fear, and he's like, I got to take matters in my own hands now. And he messed everything up. He disobeyed. In verse 11, in chapter 13 of 1 Samuel, says, what have you done? And Saul said, well, when I saw that the people were scattered from me, that you didn't come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal. And I have not made supplication to the Lord. I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. Samuel said to Saul, you've done foolishly. And it was because of that that the kingdom was taken away from him. Because of that decision. Verse 14, now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord had commanded him to be commander over his people. That was David. David was a man after his own heart. You can contrast that scripture with Psalm 40, verse 1. It says, I have waited patiently for the Lord. That's what David says. When he was in that miry pit, right? That's like when the Philistines are coming and he says, I've waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined his ear to me and he heard and he saved me, right? It all started with, and it says, and I have cried out to the Lord. So instead of taking matters in our own hands, when we're in a really difficult situation and becoming impatient and getting angry and trying to fight our own battle, that's going to lead to death. Be like David and say, wait patiently for the Lord. Let him fight our battles for us. Let him do the work. He says that he will give the victory. So we take it to the Lord in prayer, cry out to him. Okay, so the last point is, how are we going to grow in long-suffering and patience, in endurance and perseverance? Colossians chapter 3. Once we make a decision to follow Jesus and we receive of his Holy Spirit, and it says that we die with Christ and we're raised with him, then we're no longer a slave of impatience. We will no longer be a slave of anger. That will be broken. But then there's something that we have to do. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So, some versions say, clothe yourselves, put on, clothe yourselves in tender mercies, kindness, humility, and meekness and long-suffering. In the morning when I wake up and I'm getting ready for the day or getting ready for work, or even this morning, I'm like, okay, I see a few shirts I can wear. I could wear my blue one, I could wear my other blue one or my other blue one, or I could wear this red one or this gray one. I have a choice. I can put on this or I can put on that. Now Jesus is saying, we have a choice. We're no longer slaves, where the devil takes control of our life and we just respond in a way that is evil and harsh and angry. We have a choice. Are we going to put on tender mercies? Are we going to clothe ourselves in long-suffering? So that's a choice that we all can make every day, every hour. What are we going to clothe ourselves in? There's a verse in Galatians that says, he who has been baptized with Christ has put on Christ. Let's put on Christ. Let's put on his character. He's been so long-suffering towards us. It's the only reason that we can be saved, because of his long-suffering towards me, his kindness. We don't deserve his kindness, but yet he's shown us his kindness. He's forgiven us so much so that we now, it should feel like, you know, in Matthew 18, the parable of the unforgiving servant who was forgiven so much, a debt that was equivalent to, and there's different interpretations on this, but it could be millions or even billions of dollars. He was forgiven something he would never be able to repay. That was how God has forgiven us so much. And then, after he'd been forgiven so much, this his servant, who had only was a small debt in comparison, something that would have maybe taken, I don't know, how long was it? Maybe, again, there's different interpretations. Maybe it was $10,000 or $20,000. Maybe it was half a year's wage. But yet the man was so angry after he'd been forgiven millions and billions. And he just said, you go to jail. You get locked up until you can pay. And when the master heard that he had not forgiven that small debt, after he'd been forgiven such a great debt, he was angry and he cast that servant in. He said, where there be weeping and gnashing of teeth, or because he hadn't forgiven. As Andrew shared, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. So we need to forgive as we've been forgiven. And the Lord repeats that in that prayer. At the very end, he makes a point. Jesus makes a point to say, you know, if we don't forgive others their debts, we will not be forgiven. That's a stipulation. If we want to be forgiven, we have to forgive. So that's encouragement for us. The Lord will, he will give us the victory. If that's our heart's desire, that's our cry. Let's be patient in tribulation. That's how we're going to grow, right? Let's endure, persevere. We're going to count it joy. Pray to him. If we're lacking patience, we can pray. We can cry out. And serve him as we will become like our master. We'll become like our teacher. And we know his character was full of patience and long-suffering. Amen.